And just like always, I'm looking forward to a good message now from the Word of God in a series now, a three-week series called Thanksgiving Leaves. And this time of the year, fall, we think of the leaves turning, the leaves falling, and cold weather moving in. Not so much down here, but a little bit. And so this is the name of our series that we've come up with called Thanksgiving Leaves. Last week we looked at what Thanksgiving Leaves. Boy, when you're thankful, you get all kinds of good stuff. You know what I'm saying? God just loads you up when you're a thankful person. Today, we're going to look at the ugly side, all right? And here is the message, when Thanksgiving Leaves. What happens when we're no longer grateful? What happens when we're no longer thankful? It's not pretty what happens. And it's not pretty the position we find ourselves in before a holy God. Today we're going to talk about when Thanksgiving leaves. Can you say that with me? Come on. When Thanksgiving leaves. So we're going to go now to the message to the Word of God this morning. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 1. Classic passage on what happens when you're not thankful. When you're not grateful. When you don't worship the Lord. And you don't worship God as God. Let's look at it. Then we're going to move to another sort of obscure passage that not many are going to be as aware of. It's going to be a blessing to us, I believe, this morning. At least we're going to learn, I believe. Romans 1, verse number 18. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And also we have it on the big screen. Then we're going to go to the book of Numbers, way back in the Old Testament. But right now, Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So, say that with me. So that they are without what? Excuse. Keep reading. Because that when they knew God, can you say when they knew God? Help me. When they knew God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, say that with me, neither were, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Say it with me. Amen. Let's look at it this morning. What happens when Thanksgiving leaves? We've got several things we're going to say. I'm going to move some of this stuff out of the way. I'm going to get hurt. All right? And let's see what happens here. When does Thanksgiving leave? Let's look at it. Let's put it up. Number one, when we don't glorify God. That's when Thanksgiving leaves. When we don't glorify God. According to this passage, we're just going to look real quick at this passage and then move on to what we want to say. Thanksgiving leaves us when we don't glorify God. So, hello, that means I'm supposed to glorify Him. Amen? So I'm looking at something. When does Thanksgiving leave right here? When we're not thankful to God. That's when Thanksgiving leaves us. When we don't glorify Him as God, and when we're not thankful. Keep moving. What happens when we don't glorify God as God then, and when we're not thankful to Him? We rebel against God. If we don't glorify God, and if we don't thank God, there's no other way to say it. We're rebels. We're rebels. If you're a person who said, but you don't understand what happened in my life, you don't understand this, that, or the other, you're a rebel! If you do not thank and glorify a holy God, are you hearing me today? There's no other way to slice this sucker. Hey, we've all had stuff happen. There is no excuse for us to rebel against a holy God, amen? Who gave His Son Jesus on the cross, who gives you this. Do this with me. He gave you that. Did you know that, sir? And when we don't glorify Him as God, and we're not thankful to Him, we're rebels. Let's keep moving. What happens when we're rebels, according to this passage? We just read it. Number one, our mind gets messed up. When you don't glorify God and when you don't thank God, no wonder your mind's screwed up. That happens. I tell you what, you're not talking, you're not reaching out to the Creator of this world, the God who loves you to pieces. I tell you, somebody else will come in there and fill that mind for you with a bunch of mess. The devil. Your mind gets messed up. Number two, your heart and spirit becomes dark. The Bible says in 1 John, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him. Amen? And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. We're to walk in the light. Walking in the light. Part of walking in the light, having fellowship with God, is being thankful to Him, glorifying His name. You're not walking with the Lord if you're not talking to Him, if you're angry at Him, if you're bitter against Him, if your soul is not thankful to Him. Are you hearing me this morning? Number three, what else happens? We become fools. That's what the Bible says. We become fools. What does the Bible say? The fool has said in his heart what? There is no God. And actually, I believe the text reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God! No God! We need to be saying yes God. Amen? Yes God, not no God. We become a fool. So we become a rebel. Now, what is God's response to rebels then? If we become a rebel because we're not thankful, which that's what we are, when we're not glorifying God as God, and when we're not thankful, we become a rebel, all this mess happens. So what does God, how does God respond to rebels according to this passage? Number one, He gives them up to themselves. He gives them up to themselves. Number two, He lets them do what they want to do. Listen, friend, it is up to you and to me to glorify the Lord. It's up to us to glorify the Lord. If we want to be a rebel, He'll go, fine, be a rebel. You don't want to glorify me? Fine, don't. Here's what's going to happen. These three things at least that we saw is going to happen. And read that passage completely. It gets really ugly. All right? So, He gives us up to let us do what we want to do then with our life if we don't want to glorify when we become rebels against God. Now, we're talking about when Thanksgiving leads. And I want to learn today from what I call the classic rebel. He's in Numbers chapter 16. If you have your Bible, I'm going to turn way back to the Old Testament, towards the front of your Bible, the book of Numbers chapter 16. We're going to look at the classic rebel. When I was thinking about this message this week, and over the last couple of weeks I've been thinking, I started out thinking, well, there's so many people that rebelled against God. You know, you got Saul, you got David, you got Solomon, you got all these people. So I thought about the big dogs. We'll talk about the big dogs that rebel. And then I got to thinking, no, I think I want to talk about more average Joes that are like us, you know, that rebelled against God. I thought that would be a good idea. And so I had about four of those guys. You know, this guy we're going to talk about this morning. I had Achan. I had Diotrephes. I had a couple of guys out of the book of Nehemiah. All these rebels. But then as I studied more, the Lord just seemed to hone me in right on number 16. And I just felt like I was going to park it today with one dude, all right? One guy. It's amazing what can happen when you and I aren't thankful. It's amazing what can happen when you and I don't glorify the Lord. It's amazing how many other folk we can take to the hole with us. And that's what being ungrateful and not glorifying to God leads to. It leads to just a pit of despair and despondency and darkness. It's a blessing to be thankful, isn't it, Sam? It ain't just about the turkey, but I thank the Lord for the turkey too, amen? You know what I'm saying? And all that good stuff we're going to eat this week is great. But I tell you what, it's more than that. Oh, this is huge. So let's look at this classic rebel today. This is a very unusual story in the Bible. Let's go with Raj this morning. Here we go. There's some leaves that are falling. His name was Korah. Can you say that? His name was Say Korah a little bit louder if you don't mind. Korah. I don't want you to do that one more time. Korah. I want you to remember when you are rebelling against God. I want to remember my own spirit when I become a rebel at times. Listen, I want to remember Korah. Say it one more time with me. Korah. His name was Korah. Let's read about it. Here we go. The classic rebel. Number 16, 1 through 4. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, they took men. No doubt, who's the leader right there? Who? Korah! So basically, Korah and these couple other dudes took men. Now what's that mean? Keep following. And they rose up before Moses. You ever heard of Moses? All right, here we go. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So they rose up against Moses with some pretty big heavy hitters, right? You know what that's saying? Let's see what happens. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, Moses and Aaron, lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. You can read along there, and you might think, well, that doesn't sound too bad. They're just concerned for Moses and Aaron. And they just want to be involved and help. But we get a clue. Ding, 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 ding. Here it goes. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Amen?
Picked up, baby.
He fell upon his face because he knew right immediately in his spirit where they were coming from. These guys were rebelling against not so much Moses, but against God. What God was doing and what God had done. Let's keep looking. Let's find out something. We're talking about today when Thanksgiving leaves. We've already seen it leads to some bad stuff. But let's learn from this guy. It leads to rebellion. It is rebellion when we're not thankful, when we don't glorify God. So let's see, what did Korah do? He rebelled against authority. Can you say that with me? He rebelled against authority. Number two, he took others down his path with him. He took 250 men, famous men of renown. The most powerful, the most influential men, probably in the nation of Israel, he took with him to Moses and to Aaron. You think that was some pressure or what? Let's look at number three. He used slick words. Slick words. You take too much upon you. You're doing too much. You shouldn't be doing that. It sounded real caring, didn't it? Be careful when people speak to you with slick words. Get ready to duck. Amen? Amen. A lot of times when people say things to me, man, I put my hands on my billfold. Man, you know what I'm saying? Watch people that use slick words. And we as Christians should use slick words. Okay? So he used some slick words. He had an ulterior motive. What was Korah's problem? Here it is. What did he do? Instead of being grateful to God for using Moses and Aaron, he brought indictment against them publicly, didn't he? I don't know if you know much about the story. I'm not going to get into the whole story. But Moses, most of us should know for crying out loud, was a great leader of God, used by God. Correct? Same. I mean, how many people you know held up his staff in the Red Sea parted? Amen? How many people you know went before Pharaoh and said, let my people go! You know what I'm saying? This was Moses, the man of God. Certainly Moses wasn't perfect, but he was God's man. He was the chosen man. And so, instead of being grateful to Moses and Aaron for being free from Egyptian bondage and slavery, he brought indictment against them before all the people. He wanted their job. He wanted the power and the position. His indictment, though, really was against God, wasn't it? You think Moses came up with this whole plan of Pharaoh and the parting of the Red Sea and leading the children of Israel? You think that was Moses' idea, yes or no? Did Moses really want to do it, yes or no? He didn't want to do it at all. He didn't think he could do it. He didn't think he was worthy of doing it. He didn't think he could be used of God at all, did he? So whose plan was this? This was whose plan? God's plan. So if Korah had a problem with the plan, he's got a plan. He's got a problem with who? God. See, there's that rebel thing happening. You see? And that's what happens when Thanksgiving leaves. Well, let's keep following the story this morning. That's what we're doing. We're having a story today, okay? Right from the Bible. And I think it's going to be, I think it already is. It's very helpful. What was Korah's problem? Let's look at it. What was Korah's problem? He was self-centered. Can you say that with me? He was self-centered. Do you think he really meant it when he said, you take too much upon you? Do you think he really meant it, yes or no? Not at all. Didn't mean it at all. He was a lying dog. He was a pig. Alright? He was a self-centered jerk. That's who he was. And that's what being a rebel will do. That's what being ungrateful will do. That's why I'm saying, well, we don't want to go down that path, do we? Korah did. He was self-centered. He didn't want Moses and Aaron leading the people. He wanted to do it. I want to be the boss. I want to have the position. I want to have the power. I want to be in charge. That's what he wanted deep down inside. The bottom line, when we're not grateful to God, when we don't glorify the Lord, we're not thankful to the Lord, you know what we're saying to God? You've treated me wrong. I should be treated like this. I'm better than being treated like that. I don't deserve this, what I'm going through. Look at me. You know what I'm saying? I should be God. I should be running things. I should be running this planet, this universe, I guess. I could sure do a lot better job than you did. People even question the fact that God gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross. Well, that ain't crazy, giving His own Son to die. I guess you could have done a better plan, huh? Listen, That's not going to fly with God. God is God and we are not. Say it with me, would you? God is God and we are not. That's the way it is. Got to get that rebellious spirit out of our head. We need to hit the ground before God. We humble ourselves. That's the only way we ever get lifted up. That's what the Bible teaches. We humble ourselves and He'll do what to us? He'll lift us up. The way up is down. So He didn't want Moses leaving. Let's see what else. We'll see. Having power. This is important. If we don't get anything else out of the message, this is what we need to get, at least in my life, in my office. This is how the Lord led me. Having power was more important than having the blessing. Having the power and the position and the praise and the popularity was more important to Korah than having the blessing. I want the blessing of God in my life. Amen? I want God's blessing in my life. If it means not being popular, if it means not having authority and things like that, fine, you can have it. I want God's blessing in my life. God's been good to me. When I've been so low, He picked me up. Amen? He's been faithful. Like the lady saying, boy, my name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He gets my allegiance and not you or anybody else. That's what I want in my life. Are you hearing me today? I know that might come across a little ugly, but I want you to think that way too. Listen, I want the blessing more than I want the power. But He wanted the power. Let's keep moving. Some of you are like, gosh, this is a weird Thanksgiving message. It is. I know it is. Let's keep going. Let's see what happens. What happened? Do you want to end or do you want to find out what happened to this sucker? Say, oh, we're just going home. No, let's keep going. Here we go. Verse number 5. What's going to happen? Is it going to fly? Is Moses going to cave? Verse 5. And Moses spoke unto Korah and unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who He hath chosen will He cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man who the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Boy, I've read this passage many times, but it never hit me like it did this time. What did Korah say to Moses? He said, slick words. He said, help me. You take too much upon you. Did you see that jab right there, son? Moses is jabbing back a little, ain't he, son? You see that? Did you see that? Did I just see it? Moses said, you do this, and then he went like this. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. It may just be me because I like boxing or something, but I felt something. Here we go. He was messing, wasn't he? Shouldn't have gone there. This is the problem. I can already feel it. Something's going to happen. Verse 8. And Moses said unto Korah, hear I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you? Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And He hath brought thee near to Him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek you the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against who? The Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against Him? Let's keep moving. Let's see what we can find now from this story. Here we go. Keep moving. Number one, he was self-centered. Number two, say that with me if you don't mind. He wasn't. And isn't that what it's like when we're not thankful? Say, when we're not glorifying the Lord, when we're not grateful to God, isn't it really that we're self-centered and thinking of ourselves? Isn't it that we're just not satisfied? Isn't that what we're saying? I'm not satisfied. What enough? I don't deserve this. What are you doing? Are you not? I mean, that's what we're thinking. So he wasn't satisfied. He had position. Now keep flowing. He actually served over the tabernacle and ministered under the congregation. This guy already had authority. This guy already had position. That's why God, let's keep reading. Moses said this, is it but a small thing to you
So, ministering over the tabernacle, doing all that God has chosen you to do, you're not content, you're not satisfied with that, you want my job too? Is that what you want to do?
What does the Bible teach us about being satisfied? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 and 7. But godliness, read this with me if you don't mind, but godliness with contentment is great what? Read this part. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we ain't carrying anything out. Right? Boy, contentment is so important. That's part of Thanksgiving, isn't it? So, being satisfied, being content with what? That doesn't mean we shouldn't have goals, that we shouldn't have drive and ambition and want to reach, you know, different places in our life. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's in the scheme of God's plan. Need to be content. He wasn't satisfied. So what happened? What happened to this man? Do we have some scripture? Oh, hang on. Back it up. So what happened? What do you think is going to happen to this guy? Hang on. Don't give the answer. How many, be honest, don't know what's going to happen? Can I see your hand? There you go. Which is a large part of the audience today. I'm glad I picked this. The Lord help me. I want you to know before we see what happens. If you go to your Bible and read it through, Moses didn't gloat about the situation. He wasn't glad to pop this guy in the mouth. That's not what he wanted to do. Matter of fact, Moses and Aaron, he told Aaron, he said, make an offering to the Lord for these people. Matter of fact, he appealed to God. He said, so one man's sin and you're destroying them all? Because God spoke to Moses and said, this ain't about you, Moses. This is about me. They're not satisfied with me. They're not happy with what I'm doing in their life. And Moses pleaded for them, and Aaron pleaded for them. Let's see what happened to them. It didn't help. God had made up his mind. What does that tell me? That tells me that God will judge an ungrateful spirit. God will judge us when we're not grateful and thankful to him. I mean, when we rebel against him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. And God just, I mean, you talk about no mercy. Wow. This is not a place we need to go. We need to be thankful and grateful to God. Let's look at what happened. Verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. You're going to know that the Lord sent me. This isn't something, dude, that I came up with here. This isn't my plan. Here's what happened. He tells everybody this. Because it was a big deal. It was public, man. Everybody and their brother was looking to see what was going to happen. He said, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Moses basically said, if these guys die the natural death, then I'm not God's man. Boy. What's going to happen? Verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing. Can you say new thing? Come on. New thing. He makes a new thing. And the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them. And they go down quick into the pit. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked who? The Lord. I don't want to provoke the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. Amen. You hear me today saying, you might say, why are you crazy people in fellowship always praising Jesus? That's what we're supposed to do, baby. Amen? I don't want to be in the provoking business. I want to be in the praising business. But they provoked the Lord. So here's what happened. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking. What's that mean? He had just got done saying what he said. All these words. That the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth. And swallowed them up. Have anybody ever heard of a sinkhole in the state of Florida? In case you go, that Bible, that's crazy stuff. We don't believe in holes in the ground. Well, we could take you to the center of the state and you would be a different believer. It happens. And it happened here. So the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them.
and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us too. Verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. It's an ugly story on Thanksgiving, ain't it? Dyson can't believe it. I went to church today. I thought I'd be really happy when I left, and I read about some people getting swallowed up by a pit. Amen? Well, hopefully we can bring it back around, I'm hoping. But this isn't a feel-good story. God didn't put it in the Bible to make it feel good. But there's a reason. Let's keep looking and see what we can learn. This all happened. This whole situation happened because one man was self-centered and not satisfied. Can you say that with me? I know you're reading a lot, but come on today. This all happened because of one man who was self-centered and would this have happened if he had to do his thing, yes or no? No. All because of him. Because he was a rebel. He had position, didn't he, Zach? He had a pretty highfalutin job. But he wasn't content. He was not thankful for what the Lord had done. He wasn't thankful for what the Lord was doing and how the Lord was doing. And he wasn't grateful in his spirit. What was Korah's problem? He wanted his way. Didn't he? Isn't that the bottom line? Does that hit home to us today? You've been there before, so. Self-centered? I have. Not satisfied? Boy, that's me. Wanting it my way? Yep. That's what we learned from this guy. That's from a classic rebel. That's what he was like. Let's keep moving. And now I just want to give us some other scriptures today. We've had that story, and pretty much that's the story, okay? But it's not the end yet. So hang on. God's ways are higher than our ways. See, Korah thought he had it all figured out, but God's ways are higher than our ways. Look at Isaiah 55. There are some things you're not going to understand. There are things that I'm not going to understand in this life. I say it often. You know, the death of my mother back in 1993 when she was murdered on Thanksgiving Eve. Can I make sense of it? Not really. But could have God prevented my mother's murder? Yes. That's something I have to deal with. Am I going to think God is bad because He didn't protect my mother from this maniac? No, God is still God. Amen? We live in a sinful world. This ain't heaven like she sang about a little bit ago. Your name ain't written down here. It's written up yonder. Amen? This life is going to be tough. Jesus said you're surely going to suffer in this world. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be problems. But we have this idea. And Satan wants you to think that when bad things happen, God is bad. So you'll be self-centered, never satisfied, want it your way, and you'll rebel against God, and you'll have no relationship with God. And you'll lose your effectiveness. But His ways are higher than our ways. Bad things do happen to good people, don't they, Satan? And bad things happen to bad people. Bad stuff just happens. But the beautiful thing is God can take Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good. Amen? For them who love God, for them who are called according to His purpose, God has a way of taking junk and making something special out of it in our life. If we'll let Him. But it's going to short circuit the whole thing if we rebel against Him. And it's always going to be junk. What's the Bible say? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Look at this verse right here. This is such a simple verse, but so profound. Look at it. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, it doesn't return up. What does it do? It waters the earth. It makes and bring forth plants and vegetables, and they bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, aren't you glad God's ways are higher than your ways, son? Amen. Who would have figured out that boy needs to rain like that on the earth? Can you imagine? And all of a sudden, look at that. Stuff coming up. That's God's way.
That's the way stuff happens in our life. It might rain on us like nobody's business, but God can bring something beautiful out of it. Are you understanding? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Now let's keep moving. We're almost done. If we're waiting for God to do things our way before we're satisfied, we're Whistling Dixie. Do we have a good whistler in the building that knows Dixie? I can't whistle. But you know what? It's just as stupid. Listen. Now, hush, guys. That's enough. It was ginger down here. You're a good whistler. All right, here we go. Stop. We don't want to lose our thought. Here we go. Listen. If we're waiting for God to do things our way, according to our way, we're whistling Dixie. You're barking up the wrong tree. It ain't happening. You need to get in your life, I need to get in my life, to where we are not self-centered, but we're Christ-centered. Not to where we're not satisfied, but where we're content. Not to where we want things our way, but we want God's perfect will in our life. That is what God wants for us. But a rebel does just the opposite. Let's see what happens. God is the authority. Can you say that with me? God is the authority. One more time. God is the authority. Period. Who's the boss? Tony Danza? That's for us older people. The kids are like, who? It's God. God's the authority. Let's keep moving. We're not. And then finally, we got this up for us, I think. Thinking anything else leads to the pit. When we think any other way, it's going to lead to a pit. This is a great picture in the Bible, isn't it? When I think any other way, you see old Korah going down. That's not where I want to go. Thinking anything else leads to the pit. Now, when Thanksgiving leads, and this is the last thing. Let's put it up, Raj. The closer. How many knows what a closer is? You sports people. Okay, you know what a closer is? In baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, baseball is different than it used to be. Baseball is different than it used to be. Used to, a baseball pitcher, if he's good and he's doing great, he stays in all game. I mean, he's striking them out. He's got the game. Now they'll give him the win if he's ahead, of course. But the difference nowadays is about the eighth inning, seventh inning, whatever. The pitcher could have been doing great. He did a great job. But they pull him. They pull him out of the game. And they bring in this guy right here. He's called what? The
closer.
Matter of fact, this is Mariano Rivera. He plays for the New York Yankees, which I can't stand.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. You can't help but like the Yankees some because they've got so many great players on the team. But anyway, they've won too much. Anyway, let's go back. Here we go. This guy this past year almost won the MVP, which is crazy. How could he win the MVP when he only comes in maybe every other game or so? And he pitches maybe an inning or two innings at the most. I mean, they're going to give him the most valuable player award. He didn't quite give his teammate yet, right? But anyway, the fact is, he's a closer. He comes in the eighth inning and he throws strikes, man. And he's throwing heat, and that's his job. To throw heat, to give them a different look. They've been looking at this guy all game. He brings in a different look. And he closes the game out. Well, I think God did this in this passage. I mean, it was enough story already. And then I just kept reading, and I saw Mariano Rivera come in. The closer. Just in case I'm thinking, oh, I might get rebel and not be thankful. God's like, man, ain't happening. You don't want to go there. Let's see what happens. Some people just don't get it. Can you say that with me? Some people just don't get it. And probably some of you here today thinking I'm a nut, which is probably true. But I'm right. Because this is God's word. When we don't glorify God and we're not thankful, God will give you up. God will let you do it your way. That's fine. That's what He does. And some people just don't get it. Let's look at the passage. We keep going. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. Look at this. But on tomorrow, what does that mean? Tomorrow, the next day, All the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Don't you think? Are you with me? Don't you think they would have known better, say? Wouldn't you? I mean, come on. I might not be the brightest bulb in the box, but come on. If I would have saw the earth open up yesterday and swallowed them folks, and the other ones that were running and zapped them, don't you think I'd hush my mouth the next day at least? I don't know what's happening, but it's okay. Verse 46. They murmured. They didn't get it. This looks to me like Mariano Rivera. I mean, he's just coming in and throwing three more strikes real fast. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire there on from off the altar, put on incense, go quickly unto the congregation, make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." Did Moses care for the people?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And Aaron took as Moses commanded. He ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense. He made an atonement for the people. And he stood. I love this verse. It's a crazy verse, but I love it. I feel like this sometimes. And he stood between the dead and the living. He stood between the dead and the living when he made this offering. And the plague was what? Stayed. Now they that died in the plague, can you read it? Were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. I'm done. We're done this morning. What happens when Thanksgiving leaves? Nothing good happens when Thanksgiving leaves. It's all bad. I encourage you this week and the rest of your life, daily, just live one day at a time. Be thankful today. Be grateful today. Praise the Lord today. And we finally have this on the board. Where does not glorifying God and not being thankful lead? It leads here. Look at it. It leads to rebellion. It leads to the pit. It becomes like a plague on your spirit, doesn't it? Say, you've been there before? It becomes a real dark place. Be thankful. Don't let it leave. Korah wanted the power more than he wanted the blessing. Please remember that today when you leave here. He wanted the power more than he wanted the blessing. What do you want? Do you want the blessing of God in your life? Or do you want to have things your way? This is a question for me today. I want the blessing of God on my life. Would you stand with me? Keep the screen going, Ron. We're done. Thank you. I want you to say something with me today. Now, if you don't want to say it, don't say it. Okay? These notes I write down on the paper, they're for me, really. This is what I need in my life right here. Would you say that with me if you want to? I want the blessing of God on my life. Would you tell us through it one more time? I want the blessing of God on my life. Next. Say it, Roger. Put that there, Roger. Say it with me. I will glorify God as God. One more time. I will glorify God as God. And then the next thing, here it is. I will be thankful to Him. One last time, tell Him. I will be thankful to Him. Thank you. Remain standing with me. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for just how Your Scripture comes alive. And Father, I didn't like necessarily seeing again this story and what was tragic. But Father, we know Your Word is inspired and holy, and You put things in there that we need to see. And so Father, I pray that You'll bless this story to my heart. Bless it to all of our hearts today so that we'll understand the consequences of rebelling instead of glorifying You. Of rebelling instead of being thankful. Help us, God. Drive this message home into our hearts. Help us to reject and repent from being self-centered, never satisfied, and always wanting things our way. Please, God, we pray. On behalf of these folks, Lord, today, we desire the blessing and not the power. You're all powerful. We're Your servants. And we ask for Your blessing on our life. Help us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just for one moment.